Hey everybody, welcome to Raising the Remnant. This is Whitney and I am so glad you're here with me. It has taken me a little bit of time to get back into the podcast studio and I want to tell you why. Mostly because I think that we're in a season in the world where there are so many of us who have been carrying something specific and know that in this season, it's time for it to come forth. And if that's you, then this is for you. But I just got to tell you that I think whatever has been cultivated in the hidden secret places in your life that you, as well as I, know that it is time for us to release it or plant it or start it or build it, then it's also good that we don't forget what we learned in the hidden secret places that produced that gold, if you will, in our lives, the blueprints that God wants to build or wants us to build in this season. Then I think it's pretty critical that we also understand that there's a timing and a cadence to building with his rhythm and not with ours. And so that's a really long way for me to just open this up and say it's been a little bit since I've been back in the studio because I'm just not willing, you guys, to do this like I've done everything else in my life according to, you know, like, and when I say that, I mean like, you know, when we try to lose weight, we're like, we're going to come up with this plan and we're going to do it this way, except that that's not necessarily how God works, right? Where there's no vision, people perish. But I believe that that vision has to be his vision every day, all the time. And we have to seek him every day for the mercy that's new to produce the vision that he's put on our hearts. And so I don't just want to produce episodes for the sake of churning them out. I don't want what I say to just be noise on a wall and just another episode on a platform. You can pretty much choose from thousands of people to listen to, you know, to spend your time with. And I don't ever want my voice to circumvent or overtake what the voice of your Father God sounds like and the importance that it has in your life. And so my prayer is that everything I'm talking about either is a fresh revelation that gives you an encounter with God or is revelation that confirms what he's already telling you. And so true transparency, I actually tried to record this episode before and it just didn't work out. I came back in the studio two times and both times it just, you know, the technology didn't work and I couldn't get it in the right timing. And it just was so funny. I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. We're not supposed to build anything by human hands. You know, when we try to build by human hands, we end up with Babel. And look what happened there. Right? And so I want to talk to you today about processing through transition, uncertainty, change, and hardship with your children. I believe that change is a certainty in life, and transition happens pretty consistently, right? We're always in a fresh iteration of times and seasons. Even the world is like that, right? Every single year over year, we have a winter and a spring and a summer and a fall, right? Like, not in that order, obviously, but we have those things consistently. And I feel like that's, we're always going to be in a place where there is upcoming transition or we'll be in transition in one area of our life and yet be in, you know, maybe a more static place in others. But I think that change being a certainty and transition being a certainty is significantly true today, probably as it has ever been. But I just feel like we're feeling fast transitions consistently and quickly, to where it's often hard to like find our footing. Like, wait a minute, this next thing, right? Really, our world and our country, if you're in America, but our world has been in a massive state of overhaul and change and shifting that is cataclysmic. And so I believe that in raising the remnant, we need to show them how to walk through this really well. You know, transition is, I like to, transition to me is like a very long walk down a very long hallway. And you're not exactly sure when it's going to end, but you know you're in it. And you would love, you know, a door that exits out, except really if I go through that door, I don't really ever get through the hallway. I don't really ever complete the transition into whatever is coming next. And when we come into these places where there's massive transition, lots of uncertainty, change, or hardship, I think it offers us some very unique opportunities to equip our children as a remnant. In fact, it gives us an opportunity to encounter God together as a family. Because one thing I'll say about transition and change and hardship is that it's not easy to navigate, right? When you go into the bank and you pay a bill or you deposit money, right? It happens pretty much the same every single time. You stand in line, you come up to the counter, you tell them what they need, you enter your debit card, and you complete the transaction, right? And so it's very transactional. But transition and uncertainty and change and hardship is not transactional. It's not formulaic. It's specific to the person and the nuances and the details and the specificities that surround that transition or that change or that hardship. And so therefore, it gives us this unique opportunity to come together in a place where, like, you know, as parents, we can help them with the things that are formulaic to us that maybe are not formulaic to them, right? You go to a job and although there's things to navigate, you know what you're doing, you know, 90% of the time, right? You are in a job, you have a career, right? I'm a project manager and you know how that works and the basics of the formulaic approach to that. And you don't live in that 10% of life where there's transition and change. But transition and change is consistent. And so I actually would say that those places are some of my favorite and places that I have seen the most growth in my kids. I think if we can add in some Holy Spirit revelation into them, I think that it gives us an opportunity to get humble together before the Lord. It gives me as a parent opportunities to say to my kids, I don't know how to navigate this, but we're going to get down on our knees together and we're all going to rely on the voice of the Lord. And I would encourage you, when you're in places where you don't know what to do, involve your kids in those conversations. Teach them to come alongside you. In fact, I would say that you probably want to hear what the Lord would want to say to them. Teach them to navigate change when you feel nervous or it's a little worrisome or anxious. And there are things like that try to come in. Teach your children to sit in that place with you and bring it before the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:3 says that we don't live by bread alone, but by the words that come out of his mouth. And I feel like these kinds of transitions and changes and hardships give us this unique opportunity to display to our kids that we can't always figure out how to make bread. And even if we could, that does not solve the problem of our hunger forever. And so although there's keys and steps you can take in the midst of hardship, in the midst of change, in the midst of transition, we don't have what's on the other side of that hallway. You know, only God has that. And we have access to that through him, right? I want to talk to him about what the Lord sees, right? I don't want to see with my human eyes. I want to see with his eyes. I ask him, you know, open up my eyes to see what you're doing. And I believe that that's something we can ask and should, because we are one with Christ and that's our birthright. But it gives us an opportunity to seek the Lord together and hear his voice as a team. And I think what that does is it gives our children a very unique and relevant opportunity to be the one that hears from God and to bring heavenly kingdom solutions and birth them into the world around them. Because if we can teach them to do that, they're not going to go looking to that doctor or that friend or that psychiatrist or, and I'm not saying those are bad things. We need doctors. We need psychologists and counselors and all those things. But they're not going to go as their ultimate source of truth, something that is outside of a kingdom solution. They're going to know that when I seek the Lord, and when I hear his voice about this problem that I'm having, that I receive divine solutions that births kingdom life into the things I'm dealing with and struggling with. And it's going to teach them how to go to the source of all wisdom and all truth. And I just feel like that's so critical. I was reading in Psalm 37 this week. I think it's Psalm 37, 37:3. It says, when in doubt, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. When in doubt, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And I've been thinking about this in regards to Joseph. You know, when we have gone through a lot of hard things, and, you know, I'm just going to be real with you guys. I knew the Lord all of my life. I've said before, I met him as my personal Lord, Savior, Father, Friend, Confidant, Power at a very young age. And so I really did seek him on a large majority of decisions that I made. You know, not every decision, but really I tried to do what I felt like he was asking me to do. And specifically for most of my life, I felt like things went pretty well, you know? And honestly, that led to some pride for me. And the pride was, well, I made good decisions, so obviously, therefore, things work out for me. And then I met my husband, who is an amazing man, and I knew he was the right man for me. But marrying him created this space where God just took us on this journey of stripping us of every single thing that we put our hope or trust or identity in that was not him. And so for me, pride was part of that. I'm going to be real, you guys, so real. I was like, I got this. You know, I know Jesus. I know his voice. And I make good decisions. And therefore, things go really well for me. And then I was obedient. In marrying my husband, we were obedient to do the things that God had put in our hearts. And it was 13 years of the hardest pressing, shaking, refiner's fire. That it's like hard to put it into words how hard it was. How many, 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 many situations we were in that it, even when we were obedient, it felt like it turned out so hard. And in the midst of that, I feel like what God was teaching me is that hardship is not always a result of my sin, which I know that like we know that, you guys, but how many of us, when things are going wrong, we're like, what did I do wrong? And I'm not saying you didn't do something wrong, right? We got to test our hearts, right? We got to search our hearts. We got to know those things. But I also believe that that's not the only question to ask. When we go through hard times, when we go through, let's just say specifically hard times, when really rough things come down our way, I feel like it gives us the opportunity to teach our children a definition of obedience that simply leads to him and his ways. But the outcome is not always, or hardly ever, is it what we think it will be. And I've been thinking about that as it relates to Psalm 37:3. Sometimes we got to teach our kids, we got to model as a family that we just need to dwell in the land where we're at and cultivate faithfulness, which brings me to a tool that God taught us in the midst of transition, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of cycles that I'm like, how do we even get out of this, right? We're trying to make the right decision that we feel like God's asked us. And it's like, how do we continue to take one more step? And I read a book by Craig Cooney. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. You should look him up. He talks a lot about transition and is just an incredible wealth of knowledge when it comes to that topic. But we read a book and it said, when you are in a season of great uncertainty and great transition, you need to learn to ask the Lord, what is the next best step? Just the next best step. Because if you concentrate too much on the myriad of details and pieces that are all involved in this transition or this hardship or this difficult thing that you're going through, right? You have your own emotions of how you're feeling about it. Maybe it's financial, you know, and you're like, oh, I got to figure out what to do with the house and the car. And, you know, maybe it's medical and you're like, man, I got to figure out what I got to do with this. And I got to go to this doctor appointment. And then again, what do I do with the finances that come with that? You know, just there's many layers to walking through uncertainty and hardship that it can begin to feel overwhelming. But if we teach our children who are just the remnant, who can withstand the day of disaster, to simply get before the Lord and ask him, what is the next best step? I believe we can slowly, at his cadence, walk out of the situation we find ourselves in. And I do believe that we have to overhaul a very bad theology that we often pass down to our kids, where when they find themselves in these places of hardship, we immediately and can often equate that to, what did I do wrong? And when I think about that, I think about Joseph, which I was going to mention a minute ago. But I think about Joseph and I think about how the fact that he did all the right things. He was a man of upstanding character. He did flee temptation and sin, and yet went through some of the toughest refiners, fire, hardship, transition seasons imaginable. He's in prison for something he didn't do for years. And yet he rose even within that. Every single time when he was put in slavery, he rose to leadership. Why? Because that was always on his life. And I believe that one of the things that God was teaching him in those places is that when in doubt, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. When we do this as a family, it knits us together in a way that is life-changing and can truly change the world. It's not just me that has to carry that. It's not just Jared, my husband, who has to carry that. It's my young men who know the voice of the Lord that carry it with us. And see, the thing is that, you know, I get a lot of pushback for this because people will often say to me, but, you know, they're just little, you know, they're just little. They need to have a good childhood and all those kind of, you know. And I get that. You know, I do want them to have a good childhood. I work hard as a parent to, you know, listen to the Lord and put them in good situations. And I pray for safety over my kids. And, you know, I want them to have a great life. But I'm going to be real with you. I don't want a life of ease for my kids. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. I'm sorry if that sounds weird or crazy or whatever, but I don't. What I want is that, because life is not easy. I don't care. I mean, you could have the most perfect, amazing life ever, and yet you will still have hardship. Why? Because he says we will. In this world, you will have trouble. It's a guarantee. Jesus himself said it. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And so I don't want to model for my kids that it's always easy or that there's never hardship or that transition isn't even a guaranteed part of life. I want to welcome them into that space with me so that they learn to go to the source who can help them navigate what is hard. So that they learn that not every single hardship is caused by your sin or a bad decision. So that they learn that they just have to ask the Lord for the next best step. When they are in doubt, they can dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. They can be where they're at and be a faithful man of God. And they don't have to worry about what tomorrow brings. And it doesn't have to be this super heavy burden, because now we're sharing that load together. And when they're, and I'm going to tell you, you know, the Bible says that two have a good return for their work. Why? Because when one falls down, the other can help them up. And don't be afraid to let your young children into your older children become men and women who, when you fall down, they pick you up. You know, there's this weird thing that I think happens in families that for whatever reason, we just like hit this age where all of a sudden we're supposed to look at our kids like they're adults, you know, or, oh, well, they're 18 now. So, you know, now I have to transition into being their friend and, you know, teaching them, letting them speak into my life and vice versa. Except that I just got to tell you, I believe that actually starts to happen at a very young age. And I understand that there are appropriate things, right? They don't have the life, you know, the life experience that you do. But they do not have a junior Holy Spirit when they are led by the Lord. They don't, whether they're 5, 15, or 50. And I think that what I'm really trying to say is that we should get really good at listening to the Holy Spirit speaking through our kids. And you know, here's the thing. I'm not talking, like, I get that, like, our kids, not every kid is following Jesus, you know? And so I do want to acknowledge that. But I also think that we need to start transitioning into a place where, whether they are walking with God or not, we are learning to ask them a lot more questions and tell them a lot less. Because in the questions is where they get to encounter God. Right? In the places where we ask the question and they sit in the pause is where God can truly show up and meet them. But I think sometimes, because we're the parents and we're supposed to have, you know, we don't, even if we don't think, like, we're like, well, we don't have all the answers. Yeah, but we act like we do. We act like we do. Instead of being able to come to them and say, you know, I don't know what to do in this situation. What would you do? And I'm not saying that they're always going to say something that, you know, you're going to take into account or that is good advice, but I'm going to tell you, from talking to my own children, 9 times out of 10, they say something that's incredibly profound, or they offer a perspective that I didn't have. And I think that can be true of young men and women who are not walking with the Lord. You know, if we just started asking them more about a problem that we're having, what would you do in this situation? Because we need to allow them to sit in that place of wandering with God. You know, I was listening to somebody talk about public speaking, and I just caught a clip of it. And the speaker says, he says, you know, want to know why we say so much when we publicly speak? He said, it's because we're uncomfortable in the pause. And that just struck me, because when we're talking about transition or uncertainty, we always have this place of like, hey, I want to fix it and I want to get out of it, because we're uncomfortable in the pause. We're uncomfortable, so we fill it. We fill it for our kids. We fill it for ourselves. Instead of getting into a place where we together allow God to fill it, to fill that place of pause in our life where we say, I don't know what to do about this, or my heart is broken and I'm not sure I know how to take one more step. How do we raise a remnant that can't be comfortable in transition if they're not comfortable sitting in a place and feel like they have parents who come to them and say, hey, you are a valuable member of society. You're a valuable member of this family. And I believe you were created to be a valuable member, ambassador of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So I want to know what you think. I want to let you in to this problem or this issue or this transition that we're in of not really sure which direction to go. And I want to know what Jesus is saying to you. Or if they don't know Jesus, just start asking them, what would you do? How does that make you feel? What do you think? What do you see? Because it's in that secret place that we really, truly encounter the God who speaks. You know, in my last podcast episode, we were talking about how the voice of God is in an earthquake. It's not a huge whirlwind. It's a still small voice, which means we have to get out of this place where we are uncomfortable in the transition. I'm not going to say it's going to feel comfortable, but where we're not trying to fill all the space and all the void of that uncomfortable space where we need to ask and pause and stop and press into, what is God doing here? And I think that's really the most principal question. What are you doing here, God? What's going on in this hardship? What's going on in this change? And how do we as a family navigate it? Because I believe that transition and change and hardship is a place where we can uniquely not just equip our kids, but equip each other to tackle hardship and transition and change as a consistent unit. You know, the family is a unit. We all live under the same house. We all do the same things. And I literally tell people this all the time. I know that my boys are going to grow up and they're going to go away and they're going to create families of their own, right? They leave and they cleave and they do what they're supposed to do, right? I pray and declare and decree that they're going to be men that know how to lead and can lead a family and can partner with their wife to be a team and co-rulers in Christ. And I want that for them, right? But while they are in my house, and as long as they are my children who are related to me, I want to cultivate a place where they are part of the unique value proposition, right? In business, that's a business term. What is your unique value proposition? What sets you apart? What makes that thing special? I want my kids to know that they are part of the unique value proposition in my life. They were born for at such a time as this, that I can, through the Holy Spirit, with the Lord, release revelation to them and build them up and give them what they need, you know, to grow into men who accomplish what God has put them here to do. But they actually get to do that for me too. They're part of accomplishing. They're a very critical part of accomplishing what we vision, like what the vision and the destiny and the dreams that God has put in my heart and my husband's heart. They're part of that. And I really feel that families would stay connected over a lifetime if they learned to navigate it openly, transparently, and like together, right? Like they learn to know everybody has a part to play. And they learn like a team, right? Like, what role does that person play, right? How do they hear God? How does he speak to them? What are they seeing that maybe I don't, that maybe my husband doesn't, right? What problem solving tactic has God put in them that he put in them and he didn't put in me because he gave it to them? Maybe they're actually part of the solution in our own homes. How are they supposed to be a solution to the world if they don't even see that they are a solution in their own homes? And that's going to get into, you know, some other things I want to talk about on a different podcast of really coming together as a family. And what does it look like to have a family call, a family identity, you know? And even as they're each separate people, you know, when I go to a job, I'm part of a team, right? And there's a team identity that I'm part of. There's a team culture that I'm part of. But I'm still me with my unique talents and skills and abilities and thoughts and situations. And I feel like that's a much better model to build our families with, because I wonder how many businesses, how many ministries, how many calls, destinies, and dreams have been aborted because we didn't come together as the unit God created us to be. My husband and I like to say that as a family, we should be able to set the world on fire. We know each other better than anybody else. If we are being if we're cultivating a culture where we're a team, and not a team like in the sense of like, well, I'm the coach because, you know, I'm the mom, you know, and dad calls all the plays because, you know, he's the head coach. No, you guys, a team playing on the football field right alongside each other, all in our rightful places, in our rightful positions, with our giftings and talents and abilities in the correct spot. Imagine what we could do. Imagine what a family could do in the world if that's how we approached it. More to come on that. Thanks so much for spending time with me. I truly appreciate you guys tuning in, and I pray that this blesses you, that you get his revelation, that he speaks, and that you encounter him through this podcast. And if there's ever a topic you guys are interested in, you want me to talk about, I would love to bring that before the Lord in prayer and just see what he wants to say about it. So leave me a comment. You know, I love the feedback, and I just bless you.